Home Again, Home Again, a successful end to STS 115. I'm Pete Combs, and this is Aero News. It's Friday, September 22nd, 2006. It was, as has been the case pretty much throughout shuttle mission STS-115, a picture-perfect maneuver. Before sunrise Thursday morning, Atlantis returned to Earth, and aboard the International Space Station, the crews of Expeditions 13 and 14 got to watch from the windows. Let's listen in as Atlantis makes its approach.
This is Kennedy Space Center Shuttle Ground Operations. After 12 days in orbit for the STS-115 mission, all's in readiness here on the ground for the return of Atlantis to the shuttle landing facility this morning. On its landing trajectory, Atlantis will exit the Yucatan Peninsula and cross the Gulf of Mexico, entering the Florida Gulf Coast in southwest Florida near Naples. It will then move northeastward across the center of the state near the west shore of Lake Wales and proceeding up to the Kissimmee-St. Cloud area in central Florida, then onward to the east coast to over near Cocoa and then up to the Kennedy Space Center. Atlantis will cross directly overhead of the shuttle landing facility and continue out over the Atlantic Ocean, then making a gradual right-hand turn on the heading alignment circle for an approach to runway 33, which is a southeast to northwest approach. Atlantis will land at KSC on orbit 187 after having traveled 4,910,268 miles. STS-115 will be the 63rd shuttle landing at the shuttle landing facility in Florida. This is the 21st night landing in the shuttle program. Most of the final landing preparations at the shuttle landing facility runway were completed on Tuesday when all of the convoy vehicles and their support systems were turned on and checked out.
The contrails steadily getting brighter, or just slightly brighter. Yeah, we're starting to lose line of sight again, even from window number 9, going on behind one of the components hanging off the side of the progress. We've moved from our starboard side to our port side now.
23 minutes to touchdown. Speed Mach 23 or 15,900 miles an hour.
So we see him well ported.
Altitude 46 miles. 2,600 miles to the landing site.
So a very bright, steady dot of the orbiter with a very bright glow of the contrail behind. Just like watching a contrail behind an airplane, you don't see it immediately behind the orbiter, but it forms, gosh, I don't know how to characterize the distance. If you held out your hand at arm's length and maybe your a little finger width, it becomes very visible and gets brighter as you go back maybe a couple finger widths, and then it stays as far back as we can see.
That's great, guys.
Expedition 13 flight engineer Jeff aboard the International Space Station, describing his bird's eye view of Atlantis's return through the atmosphere as he reports on the condition of the plasma trail as Atlantis moves through at a speed of 15,400 miles an hour. Now 21 and a half minutes to touchdown. Altitude is 45 miles.
Let's see,
2,250 miles to go to the landing site.
Occurred already.
Atlantis continuing to bank in a series of turns that will bleed off excess speed as it heads for the runway.
Damn it, we're checking on that, Jeff.
We have sunrise coming up here shortly. You can tell because you can faintly see the Earth's surface now behind the orbiter in the relative motion of the Earth. But still, the brightest thing through the window is by far the orbiter itself and the contrail behind.
And, Jeff, the roll reversal is in 2 minutes.
Now, the last time Foster and I watched this in Tomas, we were after sunrise, we were able to watch the orbiter for a long time visually through 800-millimeter lens especially. So it went into clouds. We'll see how we do today.
That's great. I see you all have...
Yeah, Rick, I'm watching from up front in the lab.
I see you guys have darkened the lab, too. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm up in the lab, Rick. I got a great window at the great view at the lab window. You can really pick up how much more of a cross range they have. Did you figure out whether there's going to be another?
And newly arrived commander of Expedition 14, Mike Lopez-Alegria, also describing his reactions to Atlantis's descent through the atmosphere. Currently, the speed of the space shuttle, 14,500 miles an hour, about Mach 21. Altitude, 43 miles, 1,775 miles to go to the runway.
From my velocity vector, they're well part of us now. Probably the angle to them from directly nadir is 15 to 18 degrees or so. Maybe 20, maybe even more than that, maybe 25 degrees. And they're continuing to move port.
And for Mike, we should have done...
Just under 19 minutes to touchdown, 3 good auxiliary power units providing hydraulic pressure to the aerodynamic surfaces of Atlantis. Commander Brent Jett, pilot Chris Ferguson, and mission specialist Dan Burbank, Joe Tanner, Heidi Stephanishin Piper, and Steve McLean continuing their descent.
Yeah, I don't know that right offhand, Mike.
Shuttle currently banking at an angle of 59 degrees.
How far to the southeast will we be? For example, do we cross the east end of Cuba, maybe?
Just about ready to cross over the western coast of Mexico and head northeasterly across the Yucatan Peninsula.
Right in the same path as the orbiter's heading. Of course, they'll be well below them.
Speed, 13,500 miles an hour. Altitude, 41 miles, 1,400 miles to the landing site.
It looks like they're about to cross the coastline.
Both Jeff Williams and Mike Lopez-Alegria aboard the International Space Station, providing their own play-by-play for this reentry.
Your track will take you over Cuba.
Okay. And it looks like we're heading over Cuba right now. We can definitely pick out the city lights. Unless this is Mexico, I'm not looking at the map. Maybe this is Mexico.
Yeah, I'm looking at a world map, and it looks like it's the Yucatan Peninsula we're about to cross.
Okay, yeah.
Western coast of Mexico, southwestern coast.
Yeah, spectacular lightning flashes directly below the orbiter there. Just spectacular.
That's really cool, guys.
The glow of the orbiter itself is getting dimmer, but the contrail is still very bright.
And just so if y'all got net meeting up, we can go ahead and initiate it. We're about... Yeah, I'm guessing 6 minutes out from landing.
Atlantis continuing through a series of S-turns. It'll bleed off excess speed as it re-enters through the Earth's atmosphere. Current speed 12,000 miles an hour. Mach 17, altitude about 38 miles. Just over 1,000 miles to the runway. Current bank angle is about 60 degrees. Still three good auxiliary power units providing the hydraulic pressure to these aerodynamic surfaces that are controlling the shuttle's descent. Atlantis now heading out over the Yucatan Peninsula.
Okay, Rick, next meeting.
Yeah, we don't. I thought we had it here.
Yeah, Rick, we're having
15 minutes to touchdown.
Okay, great.
Altitude 10,000 feet. 14 and a half minutes to touchdown. Correction, velocity 10,000 miles an hour. Altitude 35 miles, or about 184,000 feet. 700 miles to the runway. Atlantis in another one of its S turns. Angle is 75 degrees. About 2 minutes away from getting communication with Atlantis through the Merritt Island Tracking Station in Florida. Team has touchdown, processing signals through Merritt Island Tracking Station. Speed 7,800 miles an hour, or Mach 11. 500 miles to the landing site. Altitude 32 miles, or 170,000 feet.
Atlantis, Houston. Energy, ground, track, and nav are go, having you touch down at 2,600 feet at 195.
That call confirming that the shuttle is right on course for its touchdown at the landing site in Florida.
We'll hear more of the shuttle's landing in just a moment. But first, this AeroCast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
Why can't your aircraft engine help you be a good neighbor wherever you fly? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years. Why can't an airplane engine be just as quiet and just as reliable? Well, now it can. Check out the new leaner, cleaner, and quieter V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services. The V220 and V300T engines are capable of meeting and exceeding the most stringent noise regulations. The 3-to-1 propeller speed reduction unit keeps propeller tip speeds down to reduce noise. The engine management system reduces workload by providing single lever control, increasing safety and operating the engine at peak fuel efficiency. The EMS system allows the use of unleaded fuel, eliminating the need for reliance on avgas. In addition, the option of using automotive fuel can result in a significant cost savings. The V220 and V300T engines are significantly quieter and cleaner running than the existing engine designs used in today's aircraft. The AES V220 and V300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at VAircraftEngine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come. Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350, or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to our Aero News special feature, Thursday's pre-dawn landing of the shuttle Atlantis.
Speed 5,500 miles an hour, altitude 29 miles, 320 miles to the landing site. Again, Atlantis will pass over the area of Fort Myers, Florida.
Atlantis, Houston, take tech in.
Copy, take tech in.
That call indicating that the shuttle is go to use its tactical air navigation systems to update navigation on board. That's an update to the bearing and heading for Atlantis as a radio beacon on the ground provides information to the shuttle.
Atlantis, Houston, for the pass only, take GPS.
Okay, we'll take GPS then, F.
In addition, for the first time, global positioning satellite data will be accepted by one of the computers on board the shuttle. Velocity now 4,300 miles an hour, Mach 6. Altitude 25 statute miles, 225 miles to the landing site. All systems looking good, three good auxiliary power units. Nine and a half minutes to touchdown. Atlantis continuing to bank at 40 degrees. Velocity 3,500 miles an hour. Altitude 23 miles. 160 miles to the landing site. Landing at 5:21 a.m. Central, 6:21 a.m. Eastern. Both air data probes deployed. Atlantis en route to the 63rd landing at Kennedy Space Center, the 15th night landing there, 21st night landing in the history of the space shuttle program. Speed 2,500 miles an hour, altitude 20 miles, 100 miles to the landing site.
Atlantis, Houston. You can take air data to GNC only.
Copy, air data to GNC only.
And Atlantis, pass nav looks great on the GPS.
Copy. You want, on BFS, you want air data to nav?
And Atlantis, we're going to hold off for just a little bit longer.
Okay. Let us know what you want on the backup.
Six minutes to touchdown, altitude 1,300 miles. Altitude 14 miles, velocity 1,300 miles an hour. Just under Mach 2, 53 miles to the landing site.
Atlantis, Houston, you're on energy approaching the hack. The wind change is 040 at 4, which breaks down as 4 from the right, and you are nominal chute and our plan right now is to leave air data to nav inhibited.
Copy the winds, nominal shoot, and copy the nav plan.
Spacecraft communicator Tony Antonelli letting Commander Brett Jett on Atlantis know that the shuttle is on course and proper speed as it approaches the runway. Velocity 760 miles an hour. About to slow below the speed of sound. Altitude 10 miles. Or 55,000 feet. 32 miles to the runway. Commander Brent Jett now in control. Shuttle now at 560 miles an hour. Altitude 43,000 feet. 25 miles to the runway. 3.5 minutes to touchdown. Lassel making a right-hand turn around the heading alignment circuit to line up with the runway.
Atlantis, Houston, on at the 180.
Copy, on at the 180.
Pilot Chris Ferguson now flying. A call that the course is on track at the 180-degree mark of the heading alignment circle on runway on the way to runway 33. Speed 470 miles an hour. Altitude 1,000 feet. 13 miles to the runway. This is a view from the heads-up display, providing a point of view of the pilot.
Atlantis, Houston, you are on at the 90.
Copy, on at the 90.
That call that the shuttle is on course at 90 degrees as it aligns with the runway. Commander Brett Jett now controlling again. Minute 45 seconds to touchdown.
Houston, runway 33 is in sight.
Atlantis, Houston copies, field in sight.
Speed 400 miles an hour, the runway in sight. Altitude 100,000 feet, or just about 2 miles. 6.5 miles to touchdown. Speed 400 miles an hour. One minute to touchdown. 30 seconds to landing. 370 miles an hour. Altitude 225 feet. Gear down the lock. Touchdown. Drag chute deploy. Nose gear touchdown.
Wheel stop. Welcome back. Congratulations on return to assembly. We have no immediate post-landing deltas. We'll meet you on page 5-3 for post-landing.
Thanks, Houston. It's nice to be back, and it's a great team effort, so I think assembly's off to a good start. We'll see you on 5-3.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Pete Combs. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the airport.